Is the doorknob unlocked?
I don't want to be locked in here with you.
So yeah, all right, I'd like to call the December 30th, 2018 meeting to order. I request a moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, Joel.
Okay, Bo Miller.
Present.
Mark Sattler.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Roll call complete.
Okay. Looking for approval of the minutes from the December 10th regularly scheduled meeting.
So moved.
Along with, I'm going to do a both.
All right.
The December 10th, 2018 regularly scheduled meeting and the December 20th, 2019 special meeting.
So moved.
I can second it.
Okay. Roll call, Bo Miller.
I'm going to abstain. I didn't get a chance to go over them, Joel.
Dave Bench.
I got to abstain on the 10th.
Oh.
But I can do the 20th. I wasn't here, so
well,
really
I'll tell you what. How about we do this?
We'll do them separately.
Let's do them separate. Okay.
I just thought of that one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll go over the 20th real quick because that's a short one. So we'll do the December 10th first.
So moved.
The 10th, 10th I can second.
No, actually, that's the one you were absent. You have to abstain on the 10th.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's 20th. You're right. You're right.
Okay, that's it's up to Boda.
We'll get this right.
Let me go through this.
We'll get this right. Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you guys take a few minutes? We'll go over the notes and figure out what you're doing. Somebody's got to just make a second, or the December meeting didn't happen. Update.
Do we update our population? Have any data source to update our population, or only at the decade census? Okay.
I think that's the only way to.
Okay.
To do it.
Just curious.
Just your information required every year when I close year end to do that, to put in our population. I think that's.
But I assume you use the. You just end up using the same number.
The last census. Yeah. Okay.
I see you caught this one. He had me as being absent in this one too.
Yeah, he just carried. I think he just carried it through. Yeah.
Gotta watch him.
Somebody's actually reading the notes. That's good.
Okay. So you made the motion to
approve the December 10th.
Okay, I can second the December 10th. Meeting minutes.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench.
I abstain on the 10th.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Now we need a motion to accept the December 20th special meeting minutes.
I so move.
Second.
Roll call. Bo Miller.
Abstain.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. That's all right. No problem.
Okay. And then
do you sign the?
You know, I'm gonna let you
sign the 20th, or
I'll let
somebody approves.
Yeah, let somebody. I'll let you approve
20th.
The 20th. I went over the 10th.
I can start the fiscal officer report.
Yes, fiscal officer's report.
Okay, you pile papers. Payments 193-2019. And warrants 18226 through 18320 totaling $47,207.64. That's with fourth quarter payroll for the fire department. In our checking account, we have $189,606.88. In our Star Ohio account, we have $592,759.26. And the deposits made since last meeting, totaling $25,049.83. One thing that really sticks out from those deposits is the two invoices we sent out and both got paid by the county, so it seems to be working really well where we're invoicing them for projects and then they're turning around and actually reimbursing us.
Are those stormwater monies?
Yeah, the one was a stormwater for $29.25, and then Tony had one for...
Davis Busing Training Reimbursement.
Yeah.
Glad that's working well.
So, yeah, the invoice system seems to be coming through.
And they keep Joel, they keep track of our stormwater money, right? How much we have left and...
That part I can't speak on. Dave, you're the contact with the stormwater person, right?
Yeah, they do.
As far as what projects we're going to get reimbursed for.
Is there a way to look up how much we've got at any point in time?
We could do that ourselves.
Oh, okay. All right. Just curious. Okay.
But so we could call them up and ask them.
So we can't access that. Okay.
Yeah, Joel could check it out and make us, basically he knows which ones those are.
I do.
Yeah. But the county only reimburses us.
Oh, for no. Like, what funds do we have available from the stormwater money? Like,
yeah, what's the balance out there?
We don't.
Oh, but well, we could figure that out. You know, but
okay.
If they allow us $50,000 a year and we spent 10 so far, gotcha. We know we got 40.
Okay. That's how it works. Okay. All right. Good. Motion to approve as recommended by our fiscal officer.
I can second that.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Fire department.
Good evening. I don't have a lot to report. We just reported that we did get the reimbursement for the data specialty training. So Joel took care of that, put that back into the fire fund. The department is ending with right around 419 runs for the year. And I have the totals and information. Just for an example, we have transported 130 patients according to the emergency reporting documents that we have available. So out of 2019, and I don't think it gives me quite the total of our fire losses right around, it's an estimate, but we're at 100,000 is all we have. So it really goes on property loss. It doesn't really count. Property loss and structural firefighting, mobile loss and stuff like that, it's in a different category. So that's not, it's not as documented because there's too much. Interpretation of, I've had a 1988 boat, you know, I think it's worth, you know, $30,000, you know, it doesn't really equate to that. But as far as the department's running, everything's going really well. We're having a really good turnout for runs and responses and training right now. We still have the five in training continuing. Still working towards within the next a couple weeks, burned that house down at Howard Road. That's still on the radar to get that done. Working with Oregon PD, we're forming a local group for the consolidated dispatch transformation. We're getting together, I'm getting together with the police chief and other parties for being prepared for meetings that should be coming up soon for the consolidation and how that's all going to transfer, like how our SOPs are going to be introduced to theirs and so on and so forth. So that's not a whole lot to report this time, but that's where we're at.
Tony, I got to go up and talk at Oregon up there. How many runs did we make?
We had 419 runs.
419?
Mm-hmm.
And fires, threes?
I'd have to really dissect this multiple pages in order to get it, but this doesn't digest.
If I just say three's probably about
three,
right.
Three fires of,
yeah.
Of substantial property loss, yes.
Oh, okay.
Now, we've mutualated on numerous other fires. Mm-hmm. You know, we've assisted Oregon probably almost 10 fires with Oregon. Allen Clay, probably three or four. And just the other night, we were going to Carroll Township to assist them.
Well, should I put more than three down then, or?
Yeah, for a total, I would say roughly around 25 fires.
25 fires?
Yes.
But I'll specify it that a lot of them are mutual aid, though.
Most of them are mutual aid, yes.
Yeah, most of them. And then I got a call on that house. When's that going to be done?
Very soon.
Very soon? Okay.
I got a call. I talked to...
Yeah, I know you did.
I talked to him, too.
So. He talked to me, too.
We're done on time.
Okay.
It's going to go.
Thank you.
Anything else, Chief?
Quick question. You mentioned the transports and... When you get your transport statistics, are they broken down between resident transports and non-residents?
They are
just
not.
Okay. All right.
I'll have to see if
just curious.
The reporting will be able to separate that. But it was a report that I found that I could look at and find, which I was surprised. Now, out of 400 and some runs, 130 transports is reasonable to me. That we've actually transported, because Life Squad 8 generally takes a lot of them, and you know, some are AMAs and stuff like that. But they're also identified whether it's a BLS or an ALS. You can see the report. That was the report that I pulled from emergency reporting.
I guess with seeing these numbers, we're looking at the soft billing.
Yes, sir.
And the soft billing was only going to we were only going to bill if we transported, or even if we go to the house and there's a...
It's only when you transport a patient from the residence to the hospital. That's the only ability of billing that you're entitled to.
And you're going to bill for whatever insurance payment.
Correct.
And for residents, there wouldn't be balance billing.
That's but correct.
But for non-residents, there would be.
That's the way our neighboring communities
yeah.
do that.
Okay.
They don't pursue it beyond what the insurance company has awarded.
So really, you're not going to have, it almost doesn't sound like it could be, I mean, you're still going to generate money.
Well, you don't know what the insurance payment is on the transport.
Right. If we knew at a ballpark, I wish I knew that.
Would you know?
I mean, are they all pretty much, are they all?
I honestly don't know what the different payers, Medicare, Medicaid, commercial payers, I honestly don't know what they have as their usual customary fees.
You know, is it $500? I mean, if it's $500, yeah. That's pretty good money, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It may very well be, you know, a flat rate plus an incremental amount per distance.
Now, there is increase if we're providing ALS services, but we have to provide the ALS.
Right, Life Squad 8 can.
Yeah, yeah. If it's our paramedics administering an IV, then obviously they're going to get billed for that extra service.
Oh, but we can't bill them for the drugs.
That we cannot.
Because we're getting that from the county.
We're currently getting it supplied by the county.
So that's going to be kind of a gray area for us.
Right.
We have to really watch that.
One more thing, Tony, I forgot. How many firemen do we really have?
I relooked at the numbers again, and so we are at 25.
25?
Two of them are moving out of the community. I know that I had a conversation with Mark. Even though we have the 25, the numbers can be, you can skew them in a couple views. Whether or not, how active people are and stuff like that, that's the problem with it.
But I'm just making sure what
you go through. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Can I bring, I want to say something about, if I could, about the billing, because I pay these all the time for, at work. And we actually get bills for, like, the fire truck also for their mileage. Like, because you see it on the bill, it breaks it down. So, like, a rescue engine will go to a scene of an accident, and we will pay for that as well. And I don't know if that's a law that they, something that they're allowed, they put into their, like the government adopted that's going to be a policy of theirs.
Can you share with us how much you
Well, these are just bills. I have to look. Oh. But, like, I see them, and I don't, and they're from all over Ohio, you know, like right. Boardman Township or whatever. It doesn't matter. I see them, and I pay them, but, I mean, it's $500, $600 per, like, to have the truck come out. Just the truck. I've seen them where each firefighter gets, each member on scene, they bill. So I don't know how that works, but we pay it. It's kind of interesting.
If $500 a crack, it'd be worth it. Definitely
yeah,
be worth
great.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not mileage, too. That's just mileage is separate.
Yeah.
I have heard that in your policies there are monies available, whether or not you've tempted. But I haven't heard of any of our neighboring communities right. utilizing that right. as well. Not saying we don't. Now, on a large incident like a... MVA that involves a semi, and we have a spill, and we get people contaminated. There are avenues through the LEPC to build back and recover loss of damages and stuff like that from for those agencies. But I've never seen it. I've never utilized it yet.
It just was shocking when it was only 130. We're talking.
419
runs, and then
out of that, only 30 of them we actually mm-hmm. transferred. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, that's according to the way I filtered the document from
right.
here. So.
Anything else, Chief? All right. Thank
you, Chief. Answer me. Thank you.
Okay. Rec department, Mike's not here. We're going to skip over to maintenance because he's not here, so we'll get him out of the way. And zoning, Miss Linda.
Zoning, I left a stack of documents in front of you on the update, which is on top. Just wanted to clarify, I'm not sure where we're at with cleaning up that lot other than dumping these. So I left it on there. And I hadn't had the chance to ask Kevin. Land bank, I just got three completed transfers for Beach Park North and Rubens. So they are no longer ours. I do have a land conveyance application, and that's the second piece of paper. It's a picture. It is 562 Howard. The application said 4548, but we combined those lots, and the auditor made the address as 562. And the offer is for $3,500. Reason being is that is a buildable lot. We're just under a buildable lot. It's 11,000, it's just shy, I can't remember exactly. But it would be buildable if they got a variance. And it is, it's three lots together. Mr. Henneman to the north, we conveyed a lot to them. And I talked to them and they're not interested in the three additional, but the neighbor to the south is. $3,500, we are selling three lots for $5,000, but then we are paying the realtor her fees. So that's where he came up with the 3,500, and that's why it's that much, because typically we don't ask that much.
Does this involve a realtor commission?
No, because it wasn't listed.
Okay, okay.
And this is going to a adjoining property owner?
Adjoining property.
And, okay.
And it's not quite a buildable lot, but it's quite. But it's an adjacent property owner, so.
Correct.
Okay, great. And, okay. And you and this more than covers our costs.
I would say the 35 plus our conveyance fee.
Okay, so it'll be that plus the conveyance fee. Okay.
Good. So you need a motion for that then tonight?
Tonight?
Okay. I move to sell 562 Howard Road. It's one lot. We don't have a parcel number on this.
No, because okay. It's three together.
That's
it's
fine.
Kind okay. of out there.
So it's 562 Howard to the neighbor for $3,500 plus our fees.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Then if you go down, the list on the update has the 2018 summary. I put it there because as far as parcels go, we transferred 8 parcels last year to adjoining property owners. That's exciting. But then you turn around to the next one and we accepted 7.
So you've got a fair inventory still to work with.
Yeah.
And I think it I mean, you guys accept them, and I would encourage to continue that, because then we're gutting those lots that are just sitting there back into useful purpose.
Agreed.
Takes a bit of effort to follow through the process. But.
Joel, real quick, I think we've touched on this before, but can we set up a fund for when this money comes in for these sales? From the sales of these properties, can we identify it in a fund other than in the general fund? The reason being is we've generated $10,000 this year. We can spend that $10,000 to clean up properties that it ain't coming out of the general fund. You know, we're not using, I guess you're not using tax dollars to, you're using money you've produced.
So maybe another way of asking the question, do you have the ability to assign sub-accounts such that you could assign a particular sub-account to any revenues from the sale of property?
You would just have another, for like if you put it in the general fund, you would have just another revenue. And the problem is it's not a fund, so then it would just go into the checking account and you'd have to then just know how much you have, so you're not really.
So, but it wouldn't allow you to tally a.
It'd just go and be for the whole general fund to use. So I'd have to set up another fund.
Okay.
And I'd have to look into.
That may very well be worth the effort.
Yeah.
To keep that separate, because we agonize over how costly it is to take. To take care of abandoned properties and how many we can digest in a particular year.
It wouldn't be a really large fund. I mean, it wouldn't be a great.
But it would be nice to be able to look at that and say, oh, that's how much we've been able to generate.
We can do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So.
Because it looks to me like right now, from what I've seen the last 2 years, we can take down about 1, maybe 2 houses if they're like the one on Bono or the half a house. But really, you got enough money to maybe do 1. Out of general fund, and if we can earmark that and say, hey, this is what we use, Linda can go crazy tearing houses down all over. I mean, you know, and justifiably, hey, because we sold all this property and, you know, we're putting it all back in.
It's really, we look at it as we keep reinvesting those dollars back into our community and making those properties available. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It shows too that you're purposeful with the funds that you generated.
Yeah.
And turning it right back into.
So, Joel, is that something that you can
you work on that?
I'm going to check with the auditor. And
okay,
then,
great.
A matter that it's easy to put it in the UAN system. It's just, are there any limitations? What are they? You know, okay. Or is it doesn't, or if there's none because it's, you know, we are spending public money to make money, so is that initially right? Like time, we're paying Linda's time. That's public money to pay her time,
right?
To do this, is that okay then to?
Well, everything gets reinvested. I mean, it's really a cost recovery, and if we recover more than the labor cost, then that all gets turned back into rolling over future properties.
Right.
Okay, good.
Okay, if you pull up your last sheet, Interstat, zoning permit, it was 2016 through 2019. So it gives you a list of permits that I wrote for 19. We only had one new construction versus 9 the year before. One addition, 2 remodels, 10 accessory structures, 3 ponds, 3 pools, 5 fences, 6 signs, tower upgrade, solar panels, and a driveway. And we had 3 BZA meetings for hearings. So I thought I'd get that to you, because I know you had some upcoming meetings.
So does that feel right? I mean, because it's like there were about roughly 34 permits issued in 19 versus 41 and 43 the previous two.
The new construction really popped things in our two.
Oh, okay. So there's not much of that in 19. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't do the total, did I?
I just figured that was the teacher and you making us do math.
Or she's got 2 more days.
34.
In the year.
34.
34. Or when I added a row that popped, usually adds if I have the additions in there.
Yeah, I can use that when I go to.
What's that?
I can use that when I go to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
The next two, I have resolutions for me to handle the junk removal of junk motor vehicles and then the abatement of building and structures. We had one for building and structures from, I believe, 08. So I made it current. So it kind of mirrors the junk vehicles. Also, it mirrors it to the point of junk motor vehicles is very specific, and the nuisance abatement is a little less specific. So you don't have to make a resolution for those. You can look at them both. The second sheet that has the columns and the boxes in it is really just more for me to be able to say I did all the steps that's in the resolution and when I did them. So we have documentation that I can put in the file.
I think that's an excellent way to track what all has occurred and when.
Yeah. I knew that was something that was lacking. So at some point, I need you to make a resolution on those two.
I like the fact that it walks the reader through steps, and then there's key documentation points in terms of, you know, that you've allowed a certain amount of time, the minimum amount of time, and that all the steps were followed.
And this came from Columbus last year at one of the sessions. One of the sessions I went to had this, so it's been approved by, what's nice is it's been approved by their legal. Then I went and make sure I cross-referenced the Ohio Revised Code to check that, to make sure.
Okay, I got one question.
Yep.
On the nuisance abatement. So you have it in here defined as buildings or other structures declared insecure, unsafe, structurally defective, or unfit for human habitation.
Yep.
So let me ask you about the house at the end of Lyon, Mr. Grotto's on that one now.
Yeah.
But prior to him buying that, we all know that that was unfit for human habitation, but they were still living in there. So how does something like that work, if you got into something like that?
Yeah.
Because I remember there were people calling the health department on them. Because
the health department didn't.
Right. But I mean, I just says, oh, thank you.
And those are the two, the fire department can go in and the health department can go in, and those are the two resources. Those are the only two resources you can use to make that unfit for habit, unfit for human habitation. So typically when somebody's there, you don't have a lot of recourse because they have to allow you in.
So you're saying the health department has the power. They went in, but they did not declare. Okay, and it wasn't really, because of the moisture, it was a health department issue. It wasn't really a fire department issue, right. So you would not have called them.
Yeah, and I did contact the health department.
So in an instance like that, you're not going to do anything. Which,
right.
Well, you have no ability to. If the agency that has the responsibility says, nope, I don't see anything wrong.
Yeah, because we can agree, because I have to bring it to you first to say that I'd like to pursue this, and then we have to get it unfit before we can go any farther. And if there's not at least, there's not an agency between the two that can do that, then we can't do it first.
So you never got to the point where a violation was declared?
Right.
So it couldn't come before the trustees. Yeah.
So that tells you that the health department lets a lot go. I in my opinion,
yeah.
It was bad.
That was bad.
That was bad.
Or there's something worse than that.
Or, right, absolutely. You know, there's something a lot worse than that going on.
Okay.
And ours is really just an abatement process too, because
Once it's declared and labeled, then we can deal with it. But if they can't get it labeled as such,
because you have the other house. The house that doesn't really have any parking, where the toilet's at outside of it, at the
east and corduroy.
East and corduroy. Now the health department did put a stamp on that, but
that was theirs. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that was theirs. We could have taken that, but we had much worse than that one.
Okay.
Another rehabbing that one.
Very slowly.
Yeah, she owns a couple other ones.
Okay, so you said you need a resolution?
Yep.
Is that simply a motion to approve these, or what do you need, Joel?
Yeah, a resolution's a little more formal.
Yeah.
But for the notes, I mean.
Okay.
And separate ones.
Yes, separate ones.
I don't know, you accept, I mean, just for the sake of the notes, the process, right, where they're making a resolution to accept the
procedures.
Okay.
The procedures for truck motor vehicles and...
Well, I assume we want to do those one at a time.
Right. No, but I'm just... Yeah. But it's the procedures outlined in here. Yeah. Okay. So okay. I write it down right.
We probably have to read all that. You can just enter that in your notes, right, Joel?
Yeah, copy yeah. This. If she emails me, I'll just put it in the notes.
Oh, no, you don't.
So I move that for the removal of junk motor vehicles, that resolution 2019 whatever number you assign to it, I move that that be carried forward as a resolution.
I can second that.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Motion carried.
And then I move that the nuisance abatement resolution 2019-blank assigned number be moved forward as a resolution.
I can second that.
Okay, roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Next on the update, court cases. I do have the Ram Hotel report will be on January 3rd at 10 a.m. That was delayed the last time because the attorney was in the accident.
Oh, my. Is he okay? Is he recovered?
I heard it wasn't good, is what the prosecutor told me. So I don't know when I'm going to talk into that.
So
I knew that she was going to try to get a different attorney assigned to it.
That was Rand's attorney or a prosecutor? Rand. Oh, okay.
Barry, yes. And then along with that, I'd like to request the ability to research the hiring of a private attorney or your opinion on hiring a private attorney to continue the Luce case. Prosecutor, I don't get much push from what's next as far as where to go with that. In the past, the township has hired attorneys. I know that in the original Luce case, Dave Simcoe was the township's attorney for that case, along with a couple other ones at that time. The prosecutor then is there, making sure the township is actively engaged. But as far as them engaging in this at this point, I haven't heard from him since he left here that night. So I'd like to know if you feel that's a good direction to go or not, or if I should and can.
So can you tell us a little bit about your efforts with the prosecutor so far?
I don't act until he tells me what I can do. And I haven't gotten any guidance since.
So if you contact the prosecutor and say, okay, here's where we're at, remember? What's next? What next can we do now that we've had such and such hearing? What kind of response do you get?
I haven't gotten any. And I know the holidays have been in there, but.
Are you dealing strictly with John on this or Elaine too?
I send them to both, and then I usually get a response from John at some point.
Is he retired?
He's semi-retired.
As a consultant now, back?
He's semi-retired, and see, when I go, he's the one that always, I've been up downtown twice, and he's the one that has the knowledge of township law. Well, he's been with the township for so long, he's the one that the township's assigned to. So, really, she's just there gathering information, since she's fairly new on the scene.
I understand your concern and your question. If we were to go with a private attorney, what I don't know is what's the potential expense, and how rapidly does that that meter run?
Yeah, and I don't know that. That's why I just wanted to get a little dialogue of, can I just at least research it, see what it may.
Oh, okay. So you're not asking for approval to move forward. You're just asking to check into options.
Yeah. And if anyone knows someone to contact. I know there was one at my last workshop that I went to that did one of the presentations. I think he's from Sylvania or Springfield.
That's probably the same one I gave you the information on, too. He was from Sylvania, and he does township.
He does all township.
He knows the townships.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. I forget which meeting I went to when I met him, but yeah.
Well, that seems reasonable to at least check into.
I think so,
what
too.
The cost would be. And, you know, at the same time, what about periodically pinging the prosecutor's office and saying, guys, it's been, you know, it's been 90 days. Are you going to be able to help us with this, or do we really need to find another way of doing this?
Right. And I'll do that.
We did this once before. We knew we were in a pretty big hole, and we hired a fellow from, I actually got a hold of our insurance company, mm-hmm. Otarma, and we hired it. Well, he said that he was coming up because Otarma was worried about us getting in trouble.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we've agreed that it makes sense to absolutely investigate other options and what the potential fees might look like, while we also gently nudge the prosecutor's office. Okay.
I don't know. Do you need a motion on it or not?
I
think that'd be, as important as this sounds, it'd be important then to give her some direction.
I move that we approve the zoning inspector to proceed with researching expenses for hiring what it would be to hire a private attorney to pursue these types of issues if we cannot get a sufficient response from the prosecutor's office.
I can second that.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
No.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
And the last thing, we have a joint zoning BZA meeting on January 8th at 6:30.
Oh, that's great, January 8th.
So we're going to do it together, and then we're going to make it an organizational so we can kind of chair.
Be next Wednesday then, right?
Yeah, next Wednesday, so we can do the chairman's at that point. And that's all I have.
Anything else for Linda?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Dave, good?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right, thank you, Linda. Okay, move on to trustees' reports. Hall rentals, I had some for the firemen this last month here. Guys were using it. Starting to get some calls for 2020. So, that's...
All the 4-H girls and boys.
Well, I got a lot of them already got entered in. They've been pretty good about getting them in to me, so we get their dates in. So they're in there. One thing real quick, and I probably should bring this up in general, but I get some calls about hall rentals, and they keep asking me about they see it on the website, the alcohol permit, and I tell them we don't do that anymore. So we ought to probably think about taking that off.
It wouldn't be a bad idea, yeah.
Off of the website. So that's all I got on the hall. Dave, anything on roads?
Just that I've been talking to Allen Township about that patcher, and that, you know.
What was their thoughts on it?
They're pretty well interested.
It was a pretty nice machine. Yeah, I can tell you
they were interested. The one thing I like about it, I didn't see it, you know, I wasn't there that day, but you can actually, it's a crack, you know, sealer too, so that's what I like. The other one couldn't do that.
It was very well built, and they had thought of everything the way they designed it, in my opinion. It was a nice unit.
It might be a go, because their road guys are interested in doing it too, and Kevin is too, and they're willing to work together, so... It might work out.
And I was telling the guy from, what's the gentleman from Allen Clay there, the head maintenance guy?
It's Mike Harder.
Yeah, Mike. Though, that's the main unit on there is a Gardner Denver, and there's a dealer right there across from Lake High School that handles all them parts right there. So there's somebody close for that part, and the rest of it's just a, you know, John Deere
motor.
So
air compressor.
Yeah. Yep. So
what's the cost of that machine?
About $68,000.
That's actually not, and if you split that between the two townships?
Yeah, we split it.
Then the cost of the product to put in it?
Yep.
We buy our own.
But that's, get that locally, right?
Yep, right over on Wynn.
Hey, Wynn Road, we're lucky.
asphalt material.
Yeah, Kevin was thinking it would, based upon his historic budget, we'd pay for our portion inside of 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And it would probably have a 10 to 15 year useful life or more.
Well, I was thinking over 100,000 because all that stuff's always up there in price, you know, right, for those specialty really machines.
Yeah. For what it does, it's pretty good. I think that's about all I got. I guess I could bring it up right now so we don't do it later on, but I have that employment application from Bob Stottinger here, and I think you guys all looked at it. And
he just wants a snowplow.
That's it.
Okay.
Nothing else.
Grass cutting.
No grass cutting, nothing. Yep. Yeah. His wife was very adamant on that, too.
But she's off in the summer, too, because she drives bus, doesn't she? She drives bus, so...
You want to see it?
I just want to see his name.
I've known Bob a long time, and he would be a great asset for us in the snow plowing. I moved to accept his application and for that position.
Yudoki, I'll second it.
Roll call, Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
And I was going to have Bob get together with Kevin here in the next few days and take him around and show him some roads and show him the snowplow. And we might not ever need him, but then who knows? At least we have some names we can call upon. Because Kevin he kind of scares me just coloring that. Yeah, I just hope that it all works out. But and then I think Kevin said today he had another name he found in the one mailbox out here. So there's another name that might come up that we have. We'll have two people maybe.
I think that's a great idea to have a pool of people to draw upon when you need help.
Yeah. Yep.
The only thing I say is we have an employment packet he needs to fill out right away then.
Oh, there's more yet? Okay.
What's in the box over
box,
there.
Okay.
So with
get me that
documents.
Tonight and I'll make sure he gets it.
Yeah, so we can get him put in and then so if he starts working for us in January.
Okay, you might as well take that, I suppose.
Okay.
And then you give me the pack tonight, and then I'll make sure he gets the pack.
Okay, is that on that, Dave?
Yeah.
Cemetery.
I have not heard anything more from the county engineer. Okay. I will need to give him a call. We're getting to year end. How is he doing?
Yeah, because he had promised us the end of the year, and then when I called him a few weeks back just to kind of get an update, he had basically pushed it off until next year, so we can. That was Alan.
Alan Pfaff. Yep.
Just maybe if we all hit him from the side, maybe it'll move a little faster.
Right. Agreed.
Okay. So that was the trustees' reports. Old business. We had the sandbags, which Dave, you had got some pricing on that for us.
We just got to get the bags now.
We just got to find the bags. And
Kevin was working on that, I think.
Okay. We've got our Brown Road internal flapper gate thing there, the back preventer.
That brings up a point. I'm going with these petitions and everything after the first of the year to the engineer. So if there's anything you guys want me to talk to him about there, email me that, and I'll put that on my list when I go to see him.
Yeah, that's about the only one we've really had hanging out there for a long time.
That Rialto and East there, that water problem too there. I got that down and a couple other things.
Is that gate still leaking at the end of Seaman and Teach Out? I know they fixed it, but was it starting? Was it leaking again?
Yeah, it's junk. It leaks. Yeah, if the water level goes down, I got the engineer talked into putting a flap gate way at Cooley. And out there by Hanson's, like we did over on Sachs Road ditch, but we can't do it where the water level is right now. A couple of years maybe might be able to do so because it's coming in and it's ruining their road too.
Mm-hmm.
The road it's seeping underneath it and everything else. That Seaman Road is gonna be junk in a few years. Mm-hmm. That one section there,
especially if you get high water now, it freezes. And,
it's even worse now.
Okay, so we got ditch petition. You're going down there with that.
Yeah, he told me not to bother him before Christmas.
We talked about Alan Pfaff with Lucas County. We sent the stuff down to Sam at
Sam Runta?
Yes. Down in Columbus.
Yes.
You missed a call from him, tried to call
him
back.
Yeah, I did hear, I did talk to Sam earlier today. Sam was in town last week over the holiday, and Dennis Franklin took him around and toured the Howard Marsh. Mm-hmm. And so I was asking him if he'd seen the work that George Grottle is doing, or John Grottle is doing, to, you know, on Reach number 5. He says, "Oh yeah, we actually watched him do some of that." Dennis took him around and showed him all of the areas. So he was very happy to be able to see what that looks like. The state capital budget funding is not available for routine maintenance. So we're trying to figure out how do we position this, because this really isn't routine maintenance. This is really, renovations, very significant renovations.
In the watershed,
yes,
that they put in there.
So one thing he's going to check into for us is there's a brand new state program, Coastal Special Improvement. And he's going to check on that over the next couple of days and then get back to us, let us know. There is a what if that he put out there, and I promised him I'd carry it forward to you folks and see what your thoughts were. He said, now, because he was concerned about the dikes where they're really on private property, and you know we kind of struggle with if the dikes that's on property owned by a landowner like John Grottle, who has the resources and the expertise, that's not a problem. He's stepping in and really working on that. But the smaller landowners that don't have the equipment, they don't have the expertise, they weren't involved with the original implementation of those dikes, they may not be aware of what their responsibilities might be, and they'd have no idea what the cost might be if they were asked to cover that cost. So one possibility, he says, you know, if we were able to clear those dikes and then convert the top of those dikes to walking paths or bike paths.
There's money for that.
There is money for that. Yeah. He says the only downside is those property owners would, you know, there may be a privacy issue. But I said, I'm not convinced that privacy issue is that huge. If it's the decision between do you allow access on the very edge of your property along the top of the dike, or if you want your privacy, so let me open it up and ask for feedback on that.
I think people, if a long standard road there, if that, and I'm just guessing that those people that live on standard probably in their deed somewhere own that dike across the street. I would think that my guess would be they all own parts of it, since we can't really get a real word of whose it is yet. But if that was all of, you know, they probably bought them houses and never realized that might be part of theirs.
Yeah, they
you know, it's no different than down in Reno. They all got, everybody's got deeds down there. They have they're allowed to go to the park.
Correct.
Or the beach up there, the community beach.
Right.
So it could be in their deeds that they own that across the street.
Yeah, and they may or may not be aware, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And they may, you know, I would get rid of it if it was up to me.
That's what the guy did with the, you know, the mansion and the other house they tore down, Tony. You guys burned it, didn't you? Mm-hmm. That's why that guy sold that, because he owned that dike in front. Mm-hmm. He knew to get out.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you accepting public comments?
Sure. Yes. Sorry.
The state has done lawsuits on that, trying to decide who owns what along the lakefront. That was a big issue. And I know back in the 80s, there was a lawsuit with a resident walking along the front on the lakeside there. And I think that was a trespassing issue that they had applied.
Well, we do have one thing that we're working on right now, and I'm glad. I mean, the walking path thing is a great idea. We asked for a survey from the county, because maps that we show, like on Aries, show that the Conservancy owns them dikes.
Yeah, and but nobody maintains them.
And nobody
is liable for that.
Right.
If somebody falls.
Right. So they say the county says, according to Aries, they own them. According to the Conservancy, they don't own them.
I think the Conservancy's just Dick saying they don't own them.
Well, because there's here's the thing.
They don't want them.
Yeah. But the mailing address for the tax purposes go to Joy Schmidt's house.
Absolutely.
But when you look at it on the Aries map, it's not, as Linda will tell you, it's not perfect. So is it the, you know, the line looks like it runs from the middle of the ditch over? We don't. That's why we want an actual survey. So we can say, yes, this is the Conservancy's, or no, this is... According to Mike Panuski, he said it looked like they owned a... According to Aries, it looked like they owned the ditches, the Conservancy. Well, I don't know why the Conservancy would have ever gained the ditches, but...
I think the old Conservancy owned them, and then they gave them to...
The new one, or the Howard Farms.
The Howard Farms one, yeah. Yeah.
So...
Berto had that one. Berto and... I can't think of the old guy. Bodai. Yeah, they were on that Conservancy board. I'll write that one down, and I'll ask Mike about the survey, too.
Yeah. But that's that. I like that idea about the...
Yeah. So he is going to be checking into that. He knows the person that's in charge of the Coastal Special Improvement Program, so he'll get back to us on that. He did say, you know, we don't have a lot of time yet before the state capital budget is due. It's only a week or two away, the deadline. But my point to him was, look, even if we get started and we don't have time for 2020, we can still be working and trying to get something ready to go into 2021. And he said, absolutely. So.
Well, he didn't give us much time either when he sent
well,
the letter
out. Well,
that's true.
That's true.
I mean,
yeah.
It came out in like mid-November.
Just before the holiday. Yeah.
So it didn't give us much time to react. Right. We did react and got them everything they asked for.
Yes.
You know,
yep.
That we could provide them.
Very good.
Okay.
A historical point on that is back when we did the last land use plan in early 2000, late 99, when we had the public meeting, I thought bike paths would be the greatest direction to go. And the public input at those meetings said no. We're 20 years later.
Right.
But... just historically, I think it would be good to keep in the back of your thought process that at that point, the group that was here for the public said no. And again, going back to the invasion of...
See, I couldn't imagine them running a bike path down Cooley, like behind... Hemelewski's. I mean,
yeah, that, no.
Yeah, but along Standard, maybe, I could see that one,
yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. You know, or maybe all the way, you know, and tie into the park back there, but I couldn't see it running back there along behind Donovan. That'd be...
Well, I think, I mean, for people that are interested in walking, running, biking, to have a network up on top... would just be awesome. I mean, you look in areas like in West Virginia where they've got a rails to trails program where they've taken old railroad tracks, taken those away, used the elevated banks, and they've converted those into elevated bike paths and walking paths. And I mean, what a great way to provide access to some various areas of our township with all the beauty. And some of that stuff is just so hard to get to right now.
Yes.
They actually talked about a bike path from, I was in one of the meetings, or a couple of meetings, from Maumee Bay. They were going to come through. The biggest problem was the state wouldn't let them come through along Cedar Point. They had to stay on Cedar Point Road, and then we were going to go through where Grottle Farms there. There's a water line where the towers, well, not towers, they're poles for electric that go out to the waterworks, I think. But we were going to go through there, then cut up Yondota Road, go down Corduroy a little bit, and they were talking about going down Howard to the park, and I was, oh, you can't go by Jack's, that's a zoo there. I was going to have him go down and teach out and then use the Sachs Road dike and then jump across, have a bridge there, and then go into the park. And then the feds were actually going to let them go over and on the dike in front of the lake and then go to the new park all the way through there. That would have been really cool, though.
Oh, yeah.
But right. The feds were willing to do it.
Wow.
But it just all went, all of a sudden, well, somebody says, we're not going to do it.
Okay. So, maybe the time will be right.
But it's, I've read there's all kinds of money for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, hopefully we can get some somehow.
Good.
Hopefully we'll word it right or whatnot.
Doesn't hurt to try.
Absolutely. Okay, last thing I had for old business was, obviously, we had our garbage meeting. Everything's going to be stay the same. They tell us same drivers. I think they might even be the same truck for the first week or two. And then they'll basically change the truck to a Republic truck.
So, yeah, I think that's a really positive response that we got.
The cans, if you have All-Star cans now, they stay. You'll just get your billing from Republic. And if they break, then they're going to replace them with Republic cans. So
they won't replace them. You're going to have to
rent them.
Yeah, rent them. Yeah. But
don't tell them they're
going to. You'll rent it from with the Republic can. So,
and they're and what's cool about it too? They're going to use them little trucks yet.
Yep.
Up on Dyke Road,
like All Star was, and we never could get Waste Management to do that. We begged them, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Just curious, how'd you make out with the unlimited pickup?
Everything's same.
Yep.
Everything's same so far.
Just curious.
Yeah, they were going to talk some more with Tom because Tom's going is transferring over to Republic for
transition. I don't know if it's a year. Or
yeah, I think it was what, a few 6 months possibly.
I think you're right, 6 months.
So he was going to transfer over with them, and he expressed in here that they did really well on the 2-day pickup, and the guy. The head guy, like the supervisor, used to work for Waste Management, and he goes, oh my gosh, he goes, I remember way back in the day the mountains of garbage you guys would have out here. And Tom said it wasn't that bad because we did it over 2 days. Yeah. And they agreed that by doing it over the 2 days like that, it kept neighboring garbage from coming in on the weekends.
Instead of waiting for Saturday and everybody bringing it.
Yep.
Yeah,
because we pay for that. You know, your neighbor, you know, from Toledo brings garbage out of your house. You know, in the end, we have to pay for that by the tonnage. So
yeah, we get paid by the ton.
Helped. So it went really good. I was really happy when we left the meeting. I was.
It was a very good result.
Yeah, I was happy they were keeping the same drivers. They hired the drivers. So that's. I think that's really where your customer service you get that from is the drivers. So. Any other new business?
Old business.
Or old business.
No, nothing else.
All right, new business. I think we had was this Bob Stottinger, and we took care of that. Okay, public participation for this meeting. Seeing none, looking for a motion to adjourn.
Okay, so move.
Second.
Roll call. Bill Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay.